Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Gimel, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. And what we were speaking about last time was the two powers that we spoke of, that there is Hashem from our point of view, and there's Hashem from His point of view, from the reality. The reality of Hashem is that He fills the whole universe absolutely equally. He's found in all places. There is no place free of Him. He's absolutely everywhere. From our point of view, Hashem is totally hidden. We can't see Him at all. And the way it works is, so to speak, Hashem has chosen to hide Himself from us. You know, even though He's totally here, totally all around us, but He's hidden from us, we don't see Him. We just can't see Him. He's here, but we can't see Him. So to speak, He's cloaked Himself with invisibility, and we can't see Him. Now, the way the Oitzus Chaim, Chaim Vital, explains... When he explains the whole creation of the world, the whole setup of the world, so he speaks about two concepts. That's what we introduced last time. Two concepts. One concept is called Tzimtzum, and the other concept is called the Kav. Tzimtzum, he explained, is to be translated as hiddenness. That's hiddenness. In other words, Hashem is totally everywhere, but He's hidden. So that's in terms of that Hashem is everywhere, but we can't see Him. That's called Tzimtzum. And that's the description they give, that in the beginning of creation, what Hashem did, and it's only really a marshal, it's not to be taken literally, but what Hashem did was, so to speak, He created this huge hollow within Himself, which is our spiritual universe, not just the physical universe, but the spiritual universe is this great hollow that He hollowed out, because Hashem is all light, Hashem is all goodness and beauty, so therefore He fills all existence. But so to speak, He created a hollow within Himself, this big blank space, this blank, huge hollow space, empty space. He created this hollow, and so that's called the chalal. The chalal is this huge hollow, and into the chalal he allowed one ray of light from His holiness. It's not really light, it's this power of Hashem to come in as a ray of light, and that's called the kav. So the kav is the line, which is the revelation. The Kav is what we see. It's the spirituality that we pick up. It's the forces that we somehow sense. So that's a single line of spirituality, so to speak, the single line of revelation. He shows Himself somewhat. We see some force in the world. We see there are forces in the world. We see there's a goodness in the world. We see there's food in the world, drink in the world. There's water, drink. There's places. There's what to do. There's where to be. So there's goodness that comes into the world, but it's in very, very limited. It's very limited goodness that comes into the world because it's just one single line of light, so to speak. So the analogy is as follows. Hashem made this huge hollow, which is totally black. It's totally black, and Hashem is totally absent from that space. And then into that space, He shone one ray of light, almost like a laser beam that comes into the world. The truth is that that hollow is not the absence of Hashem, because Hashem is not absent from anywhere. But He has, so to speak, darkened Himself, blackened Himself, and therefore we can't see Hashem. There is no real hollow. It just appears to be a hollow. Outer space appears to be outer space, like you've got this huge, massive area which is outer space. It's all darkness out over there. It just appears to be hollow. And therefore that's the one side, that Hashem really fills reality, but He hides Himself. And that's what we call Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means He hides Himself. And then the other concept is the concept of the Kav, the line that comes in, like the laser beam that comes in. Now what He explained in this, what we ended off with last time, was that that line is basically all of the worlds, from the very highest of worlds to the very lowest of worlds, which are revealed to us. They're either revealed to us physically, because we can see the physical world. That's our world that we see, right? We see the oceans and the mountains, and we see the rivers and the valleys, etc. That's our physical world. But our physical world is fueled by other higher spiritual worlds, which are linked one world to the next, to the next, to the next, where each world is feeding the world below it, just like links of a chain. So therefore, there's this whole chain of worlds, which is called the line. That's the line. The line, so to speak, is like a long chain, like a metal chain where the links are interlinked. And that's what we see. So we see just this world, that those who learn the hidden secrets of the Torah, so they understand that there are high worlds, there's the heaven, right? And there's heavens of heavens. And if you look in Chazal, the Chazal speak about seven heavens. It's not really seven heavens, it's really much more than that. But in terms of our grasp, there's a concept of seven heavens. There are upper worlds, there are different worlds, there are different spiritual worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzia, Asiya. So there are spiritual worlds which are interlinked, as we mentioned, and they come all the way down until they reach this world. And that's each time they come down, there's more, spirituality is more hidden, and there's more darkness. In other words, our world, so to speak, is darker than any world that's above us. Right? A world above us is more light, and the world above that world is even more light, and the world above that world is even more light, more revelation. Hashem is more revealed. Hashem is more, you feel more that spirituality, you feel more that light. So to speak, that line that Hashem shone into this hollow space gets progressively weaker as it goes further. So that's why, that as you go lower, lower, lower along that line, there's less light all the time. It's like a torch that basically the light gets less bright, less bright, less bright, until finally it fades and there's nothing at all. If you shine a torch into an empty space, into a dark night, so eventually the light will disappear. It's just, it goes too far and there's no more light. The analogy of the light is that this line of light is the whole chain of worlds that is described in the Kabbalistic writings. In other words, where one world fuels the world below it. And so to speak, just like our body is fueled by our soul keeps our body alive. So therefore, and our soul is something spiritual from a higher world. So our soul has a soul. Our soul also has that which keeps it alive. And that which keeps it alive has that which keeps it alive, right? Etc., etc. So that's like the chain. That's like it's a line. So this whole progression of worlds is all like this huge chain, which is the line. That's what's called the line. And that's how we perceive Hashem. We perceive that in the higher worlds, Hashem is more revealed. In our world, Hashem is more hidden. We can see something. We are aware of Hashem. We're aware of Him to the degree that He interacts with us in our lives. So, for instance, you have a good day, things go right. You say, Hashem is helping me. You have a bad day, things are going wrong. You say, Hashem is punishing me. Hashem is upset with me, and that's why things are going wrong. Hashem interacts with us, and we know Hashem through the way He interacts with us. Hashem is involved in our lives. He rewards us and He punishes us. So He's interacting with us in our lives. That's what we call Hashkocha. Hashkocha means Hashem is supervising in our lives, and if a person is sensitive to it, so he sees that, you know, when he deserves reward, he gets rewarded. When he deserves to be, he's going a bit off the derech, he's going a bit astray, so he deserves to be punished. He was, you know, like a horse that goes off the path, so the rider gives a little, he taps it with his stick so that it should go back onto the main highway. So that's how we perceive Hashem in this world. If we look in the holy writings, Hashem is more obvious. If we look in the Midrashim, it speaks about angels, it speaks about Hashem speaking to the angels, etc. In higher worlds, there's more of a revelation. And that's what we call the line. And that's what we study. If you study the holy books, they speak about upper worlds and upper worlds on top of upper worlds, and that's the line. That's the line that pierces into this darkness, which is the universe. So now, the last point that he mentioned was, and that line continues until even there's even forces of, because Hashem is a force, that light is a force, until there are even forces of contamination. Even unpure forces, forces of evil. There's forces of evil. There are evil people in the world who do evil things. They're murderers, they're robbers, they're gangsters. Right? There's prostitution, drug trafficking, etc. There's evil in the world. There's evil in the world. All force in the world comes from Hashem. So He's actually empowering the forces of evil as well. Right? You know, that's where the light is very, very dim, where there's more darkness than light. But you see, even evil needs Hashem. Evil also needs to be nourished by Hashem, because only Hashem nourishes. Only Hashem is the source of life. He's the source of light, which is the life, and therefore He nourishes it all. And therefore, as you go lower, 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 this you might have forces of evil which are also being nourished by Hashem, and they're also part of the world. Now, our world contains with it goodness and evil. There are good people and bad people, right? They're people, the enemies who rise in every generation to try and destroy the Jewish people. So they're also being sustained by Hashem. Why are they being sustained by Hashem? That's part of His plan. Whatever it is, He wants us to do tshuva. He wants us to repair our ways. So therefore, He keeps us in check. That's why He has enemies that rise against us to punish us, because He wants us to do tshuva. He wants us to do the right thing. But in any event, that's what we're saying. That this force, the line ends. It doesn't really end, but the line, in a sense, ends with even forces of contamination, which are also being nourished by Hashem. All of the upper worlds, right down to the lowest of world, right down to our world, and right down to the most evil elements in our world, are all being sustained by Hashem. So the text here says as follows: the Nirum is Damek Iluchas V'Sholom Hu Chalal Ponui Mi'or Achdus Atzmusa. Now, when we see this hollow, you know, as we see the line, and we see the holos, it appears chas v'shalom as if this holo is totally absent of the unity of the essence of Hashem. And we ourselves can only grasp Hashem as a very fine imprint, a very fine, it's like a hint of Hashem in the world. We don't see Him, so we just feel that He's a certain imprint of Hashem in the world. There's just a little bit of light. A little bit of light. Can you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world? Yeah, there's like a little bit of light. I feel Hashem to a very slight degree in the world. So that's like a very, very fine light, which is the analogy of the light. That's how we perceive Hashem, as we somehow get a sense of this light, this laser beam. We pick it up to a certain degree, and that's our sensation of Hashem. Like this, when a person daven, he looks to the heavens, because there he sees, he feels that there Hashem is more than in this world. That he has some sense of the presence of Hashem in his world. Acha begir derech seida drogosus. Until Hashem's light, so to speak, comes down through different levels, v'masachim rabim, through many filters. Because how is it that the light gets less and less and less? So to speak, it's going through filters. If you have light shining through a filter, then the light on the other side of the curtain is less, right? When you draw the curtains, right? You've got these white filter curtains. So you draw those curtains, so the light in the room is much less. The filter filters out the light. So therefore, there are thousands and thousands of these filters. As you go through the worlds, Hashem is more and more hidden. So through many filters, and so the force goes through these many filters, El-Koychus Tachtoina Tachtoinim, to the forces of the lowest of the low, the lowest of lowest forces, Koychus Atuma Vahara, which are the forces of contamination and evil. As we said before, the forces of contamination and evil, which are also from this light, so to speak, because they're also sustained by Hashem. And his galus oiris bach nika klal lasagasen, and the actual revelation of Hashem's light is not really visible. You know, we just see the different forces. We see that there are all sorts of forces in the world. Right? There's a force of gravity. When a wind blows, you feel the force of the wind, right? We saw recently the winds that took trees and turned them upside down, right? We know that there can be the tremendous forces in the world. Right, there's the force of electricity, there's the force of electric engines which run with petrol. Right, there are different forces in the world, there are different actions. The ocean exerts a certain force, the sunlight is a certain force, the moonlight is a certain force. So we are aware of forces in the world. We don't really see Hashem, but all of these forces are really powered by Hashem. Now, one of the things that they write in the Oitzrus, when it speaks about this light, this laser beam that runs, it shines into the hollow, it says it doesn't reach the other end. Okay, imagine if you imagine a huge hollow, like the inside of a ball. It's a huge, huge hollow space, and there's this light shining in. So if it was bright enough, it should shine and it should hit the other end. It should hit the other end of the hollow. But this light penetrates this hollow, it doesn't reach the other side. Right? And the idea behind it is, right? So it doesn't touch the bottom. It comes in through the top, this light, so to speak, and it penetrates this darkness, but it doesn't touch the other side. And that's how we get levels of high and low, because if that line were to touch the other side, it would reconnect with the source of light. It's coming from outside our world. Outside our world is all light. That's where Hashem's presence is visible. It's penetrating through a little, like almost like a hole, like a little prick in the bubble. It's penetrating through this little hole as a line, as a thin line. If it also went right through to the other side, it would be re-empowered. We said as it gets further, it gets dimmer. But if it actually went through the other side, then it would reconnect with the source. So we bright right through. It would be the same brightness from top to bottom. Because there'd be two sources of light. There's only one source of light, and that's the idea that the light doesn't go all the way to the end, and that's why it becomes dimmer and dimmer, right? And that's why Hashem becomes more and more hidden. And that's why we've got the concept of higher and lower, because low would be where it's more dim, high would be where it's more bright. If it went right through, there wouldn't be a high and low, because the other side is also the high. Right? Like sometimes you sit at the table, so you say, well, you know, you sit at the table, there's two ends. So you, the one person will say, well, I'm sitting at the head of the table. Another guy will say, well, I'm sitting at the head of the table. You know, the table's got two heads. No, he says, you're sitting at the tail of the table. But you can't really tell the difference because the table has two ends to it. So the same thing, if this line went right through, there'd be two heads, so to speak, because both of them are connected to the source of light. But it's not like that. It only comes through and it stops before it reaches the other head. That's the line of light that comes through the world. But symptom of a hakab, hakol echod, and the concept of the hiddenness, and the concept of the line of light, which is the chain of existence, the chain of worlds, which comes right through, they're really all one. They're really one and the same, because it's all really Hashem. The darkness that we speak about is also not a real darkness, it's only that Hashem is hidden. So it seems to be we're in a big hollow, but it's not really a hollow, it's really full of Hashem, just that He's hidden. I call Echad, it's all one. V'rotzulim, which is to say, in ki vada shegam b'mokum kol ha'ilomus ha'bruim, right, being, even though that the place of all of the worlds and all of the creatures, which is this line, right, the line that penetrates this hollow, so the place of all of the worlds and all the different creatures who live on those worlds, all the angels and all the, in this world, all the animals and insects and birds, etc., all of the fish in the ocean, all the creatures who are living in all of these worlds, right, so therefore im ki vada shegam b'mokum kol ha'ilomus ha'bruim, even though they're in the place where all those worlds and all those creatures are, hakol mole gam ato rakats musa is brought, it's all really full of the essence of Hashem. It's really all Hashem. It's really all Hashem. All those worlds are really Hashem. All the different creatures in the world, all the angels are really Hashem. They're all being powered by Hashem. They only exist because of Hashem. It's all like it was before the creation. Before Hashem created the world, there was only Hashem. And now we've got this creation where there's all these millions and millions of creatures. It's really all also really just Hashem. It's all really only Hashem. It's not really. They're not really, really. It's just an illusion. It seems to be there, also these creatures, but really it's all Hashem. Amnam hu bechinas tzimtzum. However, so it's really all Hashem, and in the hollow as well, as we said, it's all really Hashem. However, it's all hidden. And because it's hidden, so therefore it appears that they're different creatures in the different. Hainu bechinas hester levad. So it's really, it's all one. The oneness of Hashem is the same oneness as before the creation. But it's all a hiddenness which allows for this creation to exist. Mufla umuchusa vasagaseinu. So the part that's hidden is totally hidden from our grasp. We can't, where Hashem has hidden Himself completely, we can't grasp Him at all. We can't grasp Him at all. Deshal yidei zeh hatzimtzum ahester tehei kol hasagaseinu. That through this hiddenness and this darkness, this constriction, all of our grasp of all of the worlds will only be derech tashlis. So the only thing we see is the line. If, as to the degree that we see Hashem, the degree that we perceive reality, we can only see the line. It's really all Hashem. There is really no darkness. But in the darkness we see nothing. In the line we see something. We see something. We see some awareness of Hashem. I'm sure because His galus oiri is both behem beseda droga, and this extension, this line, this the extension of this line, which is the revelation of the light of Hashem, is through a number of levels. Levant, kein kav derech mashal, as we said, as we gave the analogy of a line. V'zeh she'omer sham b'shai gulim v'yoyshe anaf beis, and this is what it explains there. There's a gate called the gate of igulim, circles and straights. There's also circles. We spoke about a straight line. There are also circles there. Shakav chut or lun shakav. Or that this line is like a thread of light, and it doesn't immediately spread until it reaches the bottom. It doesn't immediately reach the bottom. As when the light comes in, when you turn on a torch, so the minute you turn on the torch, immediately you see the light on the other end of the wall. Immediately you see the whole beam of light appears at once. Or the beam is the speed of light. So it goes very quickly, the light. So you see immediately the beam of light. But this light that, so to speak, penetrates the world, only penetrates very, very slowly. The concept of circles is as follows. The concept of circles is that a little bit of light comes in, which shines. So therefore, it lights up the space around it. So that space around it fills the entire space. So therefore, it creates like a circle, so to speak, if that makes sense. Because the hollow is one big circle. So therefore, the light that comes, a little bit of light comes in, it gives off light to the sides. So it lights up the space around it. Right? When I shine a torch, I don't just see a straight beam. I see like a halo of light all around the torch. Right? There's the direct light, which is bright. And then there's the spread of light on the sides of the beam. Same thing when the sun shines. When the sun shines on a wall. So the other side of the wall is not pitch darkness, because the light, what do they call it, diffuses. The light, so to speak, spreads. So therefore, that's called the circle. There's the light that comes in, a little bit of light comes in, and then that diffuses, and it spreads in all directions. That's called the circles. There's a line and there's circles. Now, that light doesn't come in straight away, that it's an equal light in all places. Slowly, slowly, bit by bit, the light penetrates this darkness through many, many different levels. As we said, that the light, so to speak, goes through these different curtains, and each time it goes through a curtain, it becomes a bit less. The Shiur Medukdak, with a very, very exacting measure, what a Kodesh Boch chooses to reveal is something that's very, very exacting. This he will show and this he won't show. It's very, very exact. According to what we need to see. Hashem shows us what we need to see. And agree, we need to see Him, that's what we see. Inyan ha'olamos v'seid ha'droga, and that creates all of these different worlds, all of these different realities, according to levels. Ma'mevin yovin al pizeh. So someone who understands will understand, midaiti, will understand by himself, called shoyish ha'inyan kamavosham, the whole root of the idea. The whole root of the idea. Ki yevsha lefaret lahazbir heitev, called dvorav zav. Because it's really impossible to really detail and explain all that he writes over there. This idea of the light coming in by levels is something that we don't really understand. But we understand that, so to speak, there's a root. And then there's the root. So think of a tree. So first you've got the roots in the ground. And from the root comes the shoot. And that shoot becomes the trunk. And then the trunk grows up to the heavens, and then from the trunk comes branches, and from the branches comes twigs, and from the twigs comes little twigs, and on the little twigs you have leaves, etc., etc., right? So you've got this, so to speak, you've got this initial life force which is in the roots, and then that sort of comes out, and you've got all these different things along the way. You've got these different branches along the way, you've got these different fruits along the way, and these different leaves along the way. So that's our reality, which all comes from a single root, so to speak. So this line which comes in is like a tree in a sense. That should be the analogy we can use. So we understand that it comes down, and the twigs, by the way, gets thinner and thinner and thinner as it gets further from the root. The trunk is the thickest, and the lower branches are thicker than the higher branches, and the highest branches are the thinnest branches, because they're the newest, so to speak. They're the least nourished. They're the least, and then they're the youngest. So therefore, they're the smallest twigs. Perek Ches, starting chapter 8 now. V'lechei nesa hakira izboinus b'mahus inyan atzimtzum. And therefore, since this is a very, very subtle idea, it's actually not something that... What we understand, but most of it we don't understand. Most of what was being described here, we don't really understand what we're talking about. And that's why I also don't know what I'm talking about, and that's why you hear me repeating myself so much, because I don't know what I'm saying, so I'm just saying the same thing over and over. But in any event, most of this is something that's beyond us, for our grasp, and therefore, since it's beyond us, we're actually forbidden to examine it beyond a certain point. We're only allowed to examine it up to a certain point, and then we have to stop. This has been forbidden, the investigation and thinking about the essence of the idea of the hiddenness. Like the Arizal writes, Moshe Kosov Arizal, Moshe Kasavti Leel, as he wrote before, Shelo Hushen Lisbon in Klal, we have not been given permission to think at all, Leido Lahasig, to know and to grasp Mahus Inyan Makoyim Shelo Ilam. To know and to grasp the idea of the place of Hashem, Hashem's place. This is beyond us. Where is Hashem's place? We mentioned there that the angels ask, Ayei Makoim Kvoidu. We said in the Musaf Davening, where is Hashem's place? The angels themselves can't grasp the source of all life, which is Hashem himself. The place of Hashem is something beyond grasp. And since it's something beyond grasp, we're actually not allowed to think about it. Which means the idea we really think about, not that we're looking for the place of Hashem, because Hashem's place is everywhere. Hashem fills all reality. So what do you mean, where's his place? But what we can't really grasp is how the whole thing, the whole of our existence, is really all filled with the oneness of Hashem. That's something we can't really grasp. And if we try and grasp it, we can mamish, if we try and meditate on it too much, that everything is all the reality of Hashem, That can endanger us. This can be dangerous to us. It gets into that mode of thinking that everything is Hashem. The whole of space is Hashem. Everything in the world is all Hashem. So that sort of thought, if he dwells on that thought too much, it can drive him crazy. Or it can kill him. Right? Right? He's thinking of this idea that there's nothing besides Hashem. And this is really included in the question of what is before. which our sages taught us that we're not allowed to investigate, right? In the Morin Chagiga, so it, we learn from a pasuk as follows, Nikosav Furash. There's a verse that says in the Torah, Kishal no liyomim rishonim, when you will ask of days of old, right? The pasuk there in Dvorim. If you'll ask of the days of old, person asks about the days of old, lemin ayom asher bor Elokim odom, to the from the day when Hashem created man. If you want to look back in history, so if you look back all the way to when Hashem created Adam, which is the first man to ever live, so then you'll know this and you'll know that, except whatever the verse says over there. If you look back to the history of the world, you'll understand certain things. You'll understand certain things, you'll understand there's justice, you understand how Hashem rewards, how Hashem punishes. If you look through the history of the world, you'll understand that really the only way is to live a Torah lifestyle. That's what the pasuk is speaking about. But it says that if you look back to the creation of Adam, implying, says the Gemara, that beyond that, what was before the creation of Adam, you're not allowed to look into. That's our source. That's our source for the teaching. Right? It says like this, Kishalna Yomam Rishonim Mina Yom Asher Bor Elokim Adam. You're allowed to ask back from the creation of Adam, V'iyat HaShoel Chule. But you can't ask what was before that. And that's where the Gemara says, you're not allowed to ask what was before the creation of the world, what's after the creation of the world, what's above the world, what's beneath the world. You can't ask. There's certain areas you just can't penetrate into. Arizal. Now, the Arizal himself, Arizal has actually described the world before creation of Adam. So he explains like this. Again, the Gemara in Chagiga says there's certain areas of thought you're not allowed to go into. What was before the world? Like what was before Hashem did anything? We can't know such a thing, and we're not allowed to go into that. I mean, the world was all Hashem and only Hashem, and there was nothing besides Hashem. What was that? We're not allowed to actually go into that area. So the Arizal, however, so according to what we said, we're not allowed to go back to before the creation of Adam. But the Arizal explains that Gemara as follows. The Arizal, who was permitted by the heavens permitted him, and he did wondrous things. He exposed wondrous secrets. Obviously, wondrous things that were never, you know, until Arizal, you know, no one knew them. Until Arizal actually started explaining these concepts, no one knew them. So Arizal himself explains very wondrous explanations, where he reveals to us very deep secrets. The goal is Soydus Amukim Viramim, deep and very lofty secrets to us. Kfar Pirish Huzal. So he explains, Shepnimius Kavonis Akosov, that really what the verse means when over says you're allowed to go back to Adam Arishon, what it really means over there, Lemina Yom Asher Boro Elohim Adam, when the pasuk says you're allowed to go back to when Hashem created Adam, is not talking about Adam Arishon, the first man. It's talking about who? Al Oilam Adam Kadmo, the world of Adam Kadmon. There's a world called Adam Kadmon. When it says you're allowed to go back to the creation of Adam, it's referring to the world which is called Adam Kadmon. And as we know of four spiritual worlds, which is Atzilus, Bria, Yetzia, Asiya. Those are the four spiritual worlds which the Kabbalistic writings write about, which are very, very lofty worlds. And we're just the smallest bit of the lowest of those four worlds. So before those four worlds, there's another world, which is way, way beyond any type of grasp, which is called Adam Kadmon. So he says you're allowed to go back to from when Adam was created. He's not talking about the creation of Adam Harishon. It's talking about the creation of the world, which is called Adam Kadmon. That we are allowed to. So we are allowed to examine what's the world of Atzilus, what's the world of Bria, what happened there, how did Hashem actually set it up, what forces did he release there, etc. That we are allowed to look into. That's what the Arizal said. So when the Gemara says you're allowed to go back to look at Adam, means Adam Kadmon, which is this very, very lofty, holy world, which is the source of all the four spiritual worlds that came out of that. So that's where our investigation is allowed to go up to, and not beyond that. Regamba Inyan Adam Kadmok Kosov, and then when he speaks about Adam Kadmon, when he himself speaks about this world of Adam Kadmon, he writes over there, She'ena Nachnu Rishoyim Nedaber Lachkoi Be'inyan Atzmus Pnimiusa. When it comes to that world of Adam Kadmon, we're not allowed to, we don't have permission to speak about or to investigate the essence of that world. The essence of that world, or the inner content of it. We only allowed to speak about the lights that come out of that world, but what that world is, we can't know at all. So there's this very, very high, lofty world called Adam Kadmon, And that we can't know at all, but there's a certain illumination that comes from that world. So to speak, there's a source of power, and there's light coming out from that world. The way they describe it is, imagine you've got a light in a pipe. Let's say you've got a light in a pipe, and there are little holes in the pipe, like sometimes you see people make a fire in a big barrel, these metal barrels. They take a metal barrel and they poke holes in the metal barrel and they make a fire at the bottom of the barrel. And if you see it from afar, you see like the flames, you see the flames through the holes in the barrel. You see a black barrel, but you see the little flames coming through, and that's light that comes through. So that's the way they describe Adam Kadmon, is that he's this force which we can't know at all. But what we can know is the lights that come through, and so to speak, they're little holes, they're little windows in the world of Adam Kadmon which shine out. And that light is the source of all of our existence. That's the very first light from which all subsequent worlds come out of, which ultimately our world comes out of. So that we can only know the light that comes from the world of Adam Kadmon. We cannot know the world of Adam Kadmon by itself at all. And even when you're looking at those lights which come from Adam Kadmon, this very, very lofty spiritual world, we're only allowed to look at the lights of Sag. Right? We're not allowed to know the lights of Av. Okay, what's Av? What's Sag? Av and Sag are different concepts of revelation. And it's based on, okay, so it speaks about, like we spoke about four worlds, there's basically four types of light. And those are called Av, Sag, Ma, and Ben. Okay? And these are things we don't really understand. But Av is, the way it's explained in very simplistic form, but they're very, very lofty lights. They're different types of revelation of Hashem. So Av represents one type of revelation of Hashem, Sag represents a different lower type of revelation of Hashem, and Ma and Ben are still lower. Right? So he says even when it comes to these lights, of knowing Hashem through these lights, it's only the very highest light we can't know at all, the light of Av. We can only know the secondary light, which is called the world of Sag. So Kol Shekein Shelohu Shein Lisbonin Chalil Mamus Inyan Atzimtzum. Then all the more so we can't think about the hiddenness of Hashem. Even when it comes to the lights of Hashem, we can only allow to look up to a certain light, and not beyond that light. So all the more so when it comes to the hiddenness of Hashem, where we don't see anything, where there's no light, it's just darkness, where Hashem, so to speak, has blackened himself. He's dark. He's hidden himself. He's made himself disappear, so to speak. There, for sure, we can't see anything. Therefore, sure, Hashem has actually hidden himself fully from reality. Therefore, sure, we can't see anything, we can't know anything, we're not allowed to look into that. Which is from the reality that only exists from his point of view, not from our point of view. Back to Inyan Akav, only when it comes to the line, which we spoke about before, which is the chain of the worlds, chain of the worlds, Shekafi Asagasen, which is, as we said before, something that we can grasp. That in terms of describing the chain and the different worlds, that's where the Arizal speaks at length, and he discusses these different worlds, and he elaborates on them. But when it comes to the hiddenness, which is the blackness, which is the hollow, which is the darkness, right? He hardly speaks about it at all. He just sort of touches on those concepts, and then he immediately pulls back. He just sort of hints to them, and then he pulls back. He doesn't go into it at all. The Lord Dibev Mahus in Yon of the Pratis. He never spoke about the essence of this darkness, of this blackness at all. And if you look at the beginning of the Sefer there, he writes, V'loi gilor rak metziusa derech klal. He only spoke about Hashem's existence, the hidden part of Hashem's existence, only in a general way. Right? He just gives certain generalities. So if a person is wise, a person is a sage, a person is a thinking person, so he'll understand from the hints what to extrapolate from the hints. And it says that when you teach these wisdoms, you only teach the chapter headings. So imagine a person picks up a book, he looks through the table of contents, he sees all the chapter headings, and because he's very wise, from seeing the chapter headings, he works out what the whole book is talking about. So that's called a chochem, who can understand. You just give him a hint, you give him the chapter heading, and he understands the rest. And that's basically the way he's done it. If you can understand it, then fine. If you can't, then it's not for you. Right? And that's he's only hinted to certain matters. Just like, for instance, if I give you the chapter heading of a chapter, I don't tell you what the chapter says, I just tell you the chapter heading. So if you understand what the chapter's about, then good for you. If you don't, then it's not for you. So that's the way he's spoken about these things. Only very, very, he's only revealed only very, very little bit for those who understand to understand. Because certainly, someone who can understand should understand. If a person is a chochem, if a person is wise and he's able to understand, if you can understand, you should understand. You should make an effort to understand. Right? Then it's fitting for a person who's a chochem to understand. Who's the person who would understand? Someone who spends his whole life learning. He spends all the days of his life learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs. And he's faithful to Hashem. He's trustworthy to Hashem. So such a person who's trustworthy to Hashem is very trustworthy to keeping Torah and mitzvahs. So that such a person is fitting that Hashem should reveal certain ideas to him. That he should know something of the reality of Hashem in a general sense. Sha'adun yochid yisbor shmoy moles ko'akol. A person should know this concept that Hashem, who is the master of all, fills all. He fills all reality. Ein oid milvado, there is nothing besides him. L'haliv mizeh toya kedushas machshov to l'avod as a tzvila. And with that knowledge which this sage will grasp, right, by understanding what he can understand, that itself will serve to inspire him. That when he comes to the service of Hashem, when he comes to daven, he'll daven with a lot of inspiration. You know, these ideas are inspiring ideas, that when he'll think about them, meditate on them, this will power his service of Hashem. Mechaven libo ve'em of yirav esis l'mokum, so that he has intentions, that when he davens to Hashem, he has the proper fear of Hashem, he has the proper respect of Hashem, he has the proper sense of awe in front of Hashem, he trembles before Hashem, so to speak. He has an appreciation because he's a chacham and he understands his wisdom. So when he comes to serve Hashem, it's correct that he should have this wisdom, because this will motivate him to have the right attitude when he davens to Hashem. He has the proper sense of awe, the proper sense of respect. Right. Kamayim Chazal, like our sages teach, that when a person comes to daven before Hashem, he should direct his heart to Hashem. When a person comes to daven, he should direct his heart to Hashem. And also, that's one teaching. Also, another teaching. Also, in Pirkei Avos, k'she'atam mispalel ata tfilos akva. When you daven to Hashem, don't make your davening rote. Don't repeat it like a parrot. Don't just parrot your davening. Don't just rattle it off. Rattle it off like something you learned by heart. Rather, you should be supplicating for Hashem. You should be praying to Hashem. You should be begging Hashem. You should be connecting with Hashem. So therefore, all of these revelations, all of these ideas are revealed to us, are for the sake of enhancing our service of Hashem. Reb Lezer told his students, know before whom you're davening. Reb Lezer ben Hurkanus, when he spoke to a student, he said, when you get up to daven, know before whom you are davening. So what does it mean, know before whom you're davening? So therefore, you should understand these ideas somewhat, so that you should have a proper appreciation, a proper respect, a proper awe, and proper fear when you stand before Hashem, that you're able to speak respectfully and daven respectfully to Hashem.